April 25th, call day. Some of us sitting here in chapel right now wish that today was April 25th. Some professors want to get rid of us, and some seminarians who want to be gotten rid of. Even more so during this week of finals when we have to turn in our papers, projects, and take exams, do we look forward to that day. That day is a day that seminarians and their families look forward to. For on that day, within our hands are placed a brown manila envelope containing our call documents. That's what we're here for, right? To have all those years of hard work and labor, all those sacrifices come to a completion by finally taking a call to serve God and His people. We have come to Concordia Seminary to be trained and equipped for that ministry. And being one of you, I think I reflect the voice of many when I say that it hasn't always been easy. In fact, just coming here to the seminary to study may have required great sacrifice. Some among us have given up high-paying jobs and the securities that come with it to be here. Others have had to relocate their families and go through many changes and adjustments to leave the familiar for the unfamiliar. And there are even those who have had to turn their backs and deny their family and their culture to come to this point. And for what? To follow Jesus Christ. The bottom line is we are here because we believe that Jesus wants us to be here. We are here because we believe that Jesus wants us to follow Him in this way. And so when we receive those call documents, it will be the culmination of the sweat and blood of the many sacrifices we have made to come and become pastors to the many flocks out there. Once in our hands, we can say, yes, we've made it. We've fulfilled the requirements. We've gone through the system. We have done it. Yet notice how similar the response is to that of the rich young man. When Jesus spoke concerning the commandments, the young man answered, I have kept these since my youth. And in other words, I've done it. Jesus looked upon him and said, one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. But apparently these words were just too much, for the young man could not give up his wealth. And when we look upon him, we say, oh, how foolish. Because we're not like the rich young man, are we? After all, look at all that we've given up and sacrificed. Look at all that we've done to come to this point. Scriptures tell us that Jesus looked upon this young man and that he loved him. And Jesus continues to look upon his people and to love us as well. And that word which he spoke still goes out today. Go. Get rid of that idol. Get rid of that area in your life that you lay claim to. And come, continue to follow me. But Lord, what more must I give? Look at what we, my family and I, have sacrificed. Look at all that we've given up to come to this place to somehow become a pastor. What more is required? And on that call day, when your name is called out and your location is known, to such and such Lutheran church out in no man's land, where the population is 200, your nearest neighbor is 15 miles away, no movie theater, no supermarket, what then will you say? What then will you do? Perhaps some of you are already praying right now. Lord, I'll go anywhere, so long as it's in California next to the beach. Or you're saying, Lord, wherever you lead, as long as it's within driving distance of family. But what happens when your plans and your desires are not met? Are you willing to give them up and continue to follow the Lord? Maybe there's something else in your life, that need for control. Or maybe it's that goal, that high goal that you have set up for yourself, which you must achieve. Or perhaps it is some comfort or security that you latch onto and cannot give up. Jesus knows what that thing is. And it is exactly that which he will call upon you to let go of and to follow him. At these words, the man's face fell, and he turned away grieved. Who in their right mind will give up everything to follow, to jump into the unknown, and to release himself from the lifelines of security and comfort, even if it is at the words of a great teacher? But that is what Jesus is calling each and every single one of us to do. He calls us to do it because he is the one who is in control, because he is the one who knows what is best for us, because he is comfort, and he does it out of love. It was a short time after the war. A boy and his father were going to the next village, past the once beautiful countryside. The young boy ran this way and that in front of his father, and he went ahead of his father up a hill. And his father followed after him, and from a distance he saw his son. And as he looked upon his son, he realized that his son had held something in his hand. Upon a closer look, he realized that it was a grenade, and at that moment the boy had pulled out the pin. And because his son was too far away, he did not have enough time to reach his son. So he yelled with all his might. With an urgency, he cried out to his son, "Get rid of that grenade. Throw it away." The boy did not understand. He had found this newfound toy, and he did not want to let it go. But because his father's pleas and cries were so urgent, he obeyed and cast it aside. Only after it exploded did he realize how dangerous it was. My brothers and sisters, when we lay claim to something in our lives, when we are unwilling to give it up, when God calls us to give it up, it is like holding an explosive that will one day blow up in our faces. We might try to make rational reasons for why we should hold on to it. We might not think it is that bad, but God calls us to let it go. Does he tell us to let it go because he wants us to be worse off than others? Does he call us to let it go because he wants us to be less happy? You know the answer, though it might be hard to accept. It is because God loves you and me that he tells us to do such a thing. It was because Jesus loved the rich young man that he told him to give up his wealth. And it is because Jesus loves you that he tells you to get rid of your self-centered focus and desires so that you can go and follow him. Such things that we do not give up, they are things of death and not of life. When we try to keep within us an area that is our own, we try to keep an area of death. Is there an area of death in your life? Remember this. Though you are found lacking like the rich young man, Jesus still loves you. And because he loves you, he tells you to part with that thing of death so that you can walk in the fullness of life. On our own, we are unable to give up. We are unable to let go. But because we know who Jesus is, the one who first gave up all on our behalf, the one who has promised us many great things and has given us a future hope, because of him, with him, we are able. As Christians empowered by the Holy Spirit, we choose life. We choose to follow Jesus Christ, walking in the path that he has laid forth before us. Amen.